Morning, Hope Church. Now, I hope for some of you, me being up here again does not bring some PTSD, post-traumatic sermon disorder, from 2 weeks ago when I preached. Maybe some of you weren't here. I preached on the seventh commandment, being faithful. I preached about sex. Yeah, so a few people left with a little like deer headlight look on their face. So today's going to be a little bit more tame. Okay, so you can just take a little bit of a breath. You know, someone asked me, how'd you guys pick which ones, you know, like kind of how did you get stuck with sex? How'd you pick it? And like, well, yeah, that's kind of a, you know, it depends on who's going to be here, but some of it just depends on, you know, I mean, yeah, do you pick something you've, you know, struggled with, something you do struggle with as a pastor? You know, how do you pick that? And like for the second commandment, Pastor Mark preached on, I couldn't preach on that one because he said as he was preaching that he doesn't have any idols in his home. So in my basement, I got a little bit of a shrine going on downstairs. So I can't preach that in good faith. I can't preach no idols. I got a shrine down there. No, just kidding. But this morning we come to the ninth commandment. We're almost there. Do not lie. And it's a little bit more tame, but you know what? It is just as pervasive. Right? We all struggle with, and we're going to talk about different faces of lying. We all struggle with different faces of lying in us. In our culture, they say Americans lie on their income tax returns, millions of dollars. Doctors at times fake reports in order to profit from Medicare patients. Athletes who are failing in classes, right? Prize athletes, somehow their transcripts get fudged and forged and, you know, so that they can keep playing a sport. TV advertisers always make their products look bigger and better, right? You go to a restaurant and you order the hamburger up there and you get it and you're like, what? This isn't what I ordered. Like, this is his little brother. You know, I ordered that. That's what I ordered. Like, well, yeah, that's not at all what I ordered, right? Years ago, when the Port Authority of New York and New Jersey, they ran a wanted ad for an electrician with an expertise at using Sontag connectors. 170 responses came in, experts at Sontag connectors. The only problem was there was no such thing as Sontag connectors, right? They made it up just so that they would see how many people falsify their resumes. And 170 people got nabbed. But it's all over. It's things that we all struggle with. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. You see, God wanted to protect us from a world of deceit. Right? I mean, what kind of world would it be like if you go to the gas station, you expect to buy a gallon of gas and you get three quarters? What kind of world would it be if you go and you can't even trust what your best friend or your parent says and promise that they were going to do for you? What kind of world would it be where you go to a court trial and you can't trust that the witness is going to speak the truth? A world where you can no longer trust anyone. See, that's what God wanted to protect us from with this commandment. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. Well, I got some helpers going to help us with our memory tool. We've been doing this throughout the series to help us remember, and you guys have been doing a great job. We are week 9, one more to go, but I think you've pretty much got it down. So hopefully this is just good review. We got the Richter young ladies are going to help us.
With okay, Deanna. You ready? Here we go.
Everybody ready?
Help us. Ready?
Number 1, God first. Number 2, no idols. Number 3, God's name. Number 4, Sabbath rest. Number 5, honor parents. Number 6, don't murder. Number 7, stay faithful. Number 8, don't steal. Number 9, don't lie. Number 10, don't covet.
All right. Good job, ladies. Good job to all of you. You know, we just want to be able to remember what God's word is telling us. They were etched in stone then, but we want it to be etched on our hearts, right? God's truth. How does God feel about lying. I want to share just a couple of verses. We're not going to really look into them, but just hear the weight of these words this morning, how God feels. Because, you know, we live in a culture where it's like no big deal, right? It's just become common. But how does God feel? Proverbs 6, 16 to 19. There are six things that the Lord hates. Seven that are detestable to him. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked schemes, feet that are quick to rush into evil, a false witness who pours out lies, and a man who stirs up dissension among brothers. You notice two of these? Two of the seven things that God hates, that he detests, deal with lying. Proverbs 12, 22, the Lord detests lying lips, but he delights in men who are truthful. Jump to the end of the book of the Bible, Revelation 21, 6 to 8. When Jesus is speaking, he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To him who is thirsty, I will give to drink without cost from the springs of the water of life. He who overcomes will inherit all of this, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice magic arts, the idolaters, and all the liars, their place will be in the fiery lake of burning sulfur. Again, just a few verses later, chapter 22, 14, 15. And everyone who loves and practices falsehood. That's how God feels. Lying is placed on the same plane. Some of these other, we would call big ones, right? Lying has many faces, right? There's a lot of different ways that this commandment can be applied. First of all, just outright lies, an outright lie. The definition of that is making an untrue statement with the intent to deceive. The intent to deceive. I mean, sometimes we can make an untrue statement. Maybe just we were misinformed. Maybe we just didn't know better, right? But this is with the intent to deceive. So this is something in your heart, right, that God knows. The intent to deceive, outright lying. A school principal received a phone call once, and the voice said, Thomas Bradley won't be in school today. He's sick. The principal thought, the voice sounded a little interesting. He said, well, can I ask who's speaking? And the voice said, my father. Now, if you are going to lie, you better think through things out, right? The intent to deceive. Most of the time we use this kind of lie when we're trying to cover up another crime or another sin. We're trying to cover it up. We're trying to hide it. But it's never good, biblically speaking, with God, to hide things. Because God knows. God knows. Another face of lying is that of slander. A slander is a false report maliciously uttered intending to injure the reputation of another person. Both Old and New Testament speak about this. Leviticus 19, 16. Do not go about spreading slander among your people. Titus 3, 2. Remind the people to slander no one. To slander no one. You know, some sins are, in terms of the damage they can do, can be worse than others. Like if I steal something from you, I can return it. I mean, hopefully it's not damaged, right? But I can return it. But there are some things like slander that we really don't understand the damage that it can do to a person. There was a man in the community who had been slandering another guy, and eventually he got convicted and went to the pastor and was like, okay, I want to make amends. How can I make this right? And so the pastor was going, go get a feather pillow, rip it open, and take a feather and put it on every porch in our community. And the guy thought, well, that's a little odd. But he did it, and he came back and said, okay, I did it. He said, well, you're not quite done yet. Now, go back and collect all the feathers that you put. And the guy's like, whoa, wait a second. It's been windy out. You don't understand. He realized. With slander, You can never control it. You can never get it back. Once it goes, it has feet of its own. And you never can estimate the damage that it can do to a person in the minds of others. You know, Mark Twain said, a lie can travel halfway around the world while truth is still lacing up her boots. That's like slander. When we speak those words about someone else, it can spread. If someone comes up to you and says, I probably shouldn't tell you this. They probably shouldn't. And you should probably say immediately, you know what? I don't think I want to hear it. I don't want to be part of it. Slander. Another one is exaggeration. Exaggeration. It's probably something we all use. You know, to exaggerate means to heap up, to extend the truth beyond its boundaries, right? To exaggerate. Many people exaggerate to get attention. Oftentimes, it may say, you know, just kind of like you just want that attention, right? You're trying to feed something, maybe it's some emptiness in your heart, right? And there's one thing about exaggerating when you're just telling a story, right? And everybody knows it's the whole fishing story, right? And how big the fish was. Everybody knows you're exaggerating. And that's one thing. That's not what we're talking about here. Here's, you know, someone who just seems to want to always exaggerate to make things look bigger or worse. You know, there was someone in our life, Deanna and I, a friend we had, we would call him Mr. Superlative. Right? Because every sentence had an est in it. Something was the worst, or it was the most awfulest, or it was always the worst. After a while, you get to the point where you're like, was that really right? How it happened? Is that really what she said? Is that really what is true? Trustworthiness can be damaged when it comes to exaggeration. Another face is that of half-truths. Half-truths. It's when you're not telling the whole story with the intent to deceive. So your parents may be asking you, where are you going out tonight? And you say, I'm going to Tommy's house. And that might be true. But the intent is that once you get to Tommy's house, you're going out somewhere else that they don't want you to be. Now, you said what was true, but it was only a half-truth, which is a full lie. Right? It is a full lie. You break the spirit of the law when you do this. Half-truths equal a whole lie. I love a story about a store manager who heard his clerk telling a customer, no, ma'am, we haven't had any for a while, and it doesn't look like we're getting any soon. And he immediately barged into there and said, no, sorry, ma'am, it is on order and it will be coming soon and we'll let you know. And then he pulled the clerk to the side, was angry. He said, don't ever tell a customer that we don't have any in stock or that we can't get any soon. Tell them, you know, it's coming. By the way, what is it they wanted? And the clerk said, rain. Haven't had any rain in a while. Doesn't look like we're getting any soon. For those guys who registered for the men's event yesterday that we canceled due to the immense amount of rain we were supposed to get yesterday, my apologies. I don't think it rained one drop at my house. It was supposed to be a monsoon, right? Every report, monsoon. So, apologize for that. Another face of lying is that of excuses. Excuses. Some people call excuses just dressed up lies, right? They're dressed up to go out for dinner. They are just dressed up to make it look pretty. And why do we give excuses? Well, again, we're trying to hide something. Maybe we didn't get it done because we were too busy playing games, sleeping in, being lazy. We didn't do our job. You know, getting older, my mind is not as sharp as it used to be. Anybody older can testify? I don't remember things as well as I used to. It used to be a steel trap. I can remember everything. Now, it's easy. I'm tempted, like, all of a sudden when someone asks me something, I'm like, oh, you know, I knew I forgot it. But, like, I want to make up an excuse. You know, I want to cover it. Instead of just saying, you know what? I'm sorry. I forgot. You know, and just being open about it and real with it. Excuses. Another one is flattery. Flattery. It's to praise without sincerity. It's when you try to butter someone up, right? And why do we butter them up? because we want something from them, right? We want to get something. We want to have some personal gain. And so we're saying things that really we truly don't believe in our hearts, right? With the intent to get something for ourselves. I love Psalm 55, 21. The words of his mouth were smoother than butter, but war was in his heart. Right? It wasn't being honest. It wasn't being true. He's trying to butter him up. And I think there should be an ancient Chinese proverb that says, when someone starts buttering you up, remember, they probably want to have you for lunch. Right? They probably want something for you. They're buttering you up. The Bible just says, speak plainly. Speak truthfully. Speak honestly. And the last is a false testimony. False testimony, Deuteronomy 19. In the Old Testament times, it was so important that people speak the truth, right? Especially in a court setting, that God said there had to be at least two witnesses, right? Because a false accusation could damage someone, right? For the rest of their life, that there had to be two witnesses. And he also said this, that if a witness was found to be lying in court, that they would receive the punishment that the person they were accusing them of would receive. At the end of this passage, God says this, you must purge the evil from among you. God is saying that is evil, to falsely accuse someone, to try to get someone in trouble, to experience punishment is a form of evil. Parents, I think maybe this is a good wise principle in your house. You know what? If you tattle on your brother and sister and it's not true, look out. You must purge the evil from among you. Falsely accusing someone can destroy their lives. And that's why in our court system, it's do you promise to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? So help you, God. Be honest. Why does God hate lying? Well, certainly lying destroys trust. To not be able to trust someone. And relationships are built upon trust. When you destroy trust, you are destroying the relationship. You are putting a strong hindrance in that relationship. It can destroy someone's life. Lies can. But to get at the heart of the issue, we have to understand this. Why does God hate lying so much? First of all, it's a foreign language to God. God can speak all languages of men, but the one language of men that he does not speak is lying. Listen to Numbers 23:19. God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should change his mind. Does God speak and then not act? Does he promise and not fulfill? And the answer is no. God has never spoken one thing that he has not fulfilled. Not only that, it is foreign to his character. It's foreign to his character when God was making his promise to Abraham. This is what the writer to the Hebrews says. When God made his promise to Abraham, since there was no one greater for him to swear by, he swore by himself. God did this so that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie. It is impossible in God's character, down to the core of who he is, to lie. He is truth. Jesus speaks of himself that he was the way and the truth and the life. Peter, quoting Isaiah 53 about Jesus, he says, he committed no sin and no deceit was found in his mouth. Never did Jesus lie, because he is, in his character, truth. One of the names that Jesus gave the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, is the Spirit of Truth. He is a God of truth. He speaks the truth. He loves the truth. He rewards the truth. His character is truth, and God loves the truth. On the contrary, lying is Satan's language. It is his language. From cover to cover of the Bible, Satan is a liar and deceiver. In Genesis 3, what is he doing? He is deceiving Eve, telling her lies. The fall of mankind predicated upon a lie, a deceit. Whenever Satan speaks throughout the Bible, he is deceiving. And then in Revelation 13, 14, he deceived the inhabitants of the earth. At the end of time, there will be great deception because of Satan. He is a liar. Not only that, it is his character. In John 8, 44, Jesus was speaking to the Pharisees. He says, "You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies." Why does God hate lying? It's the very character of Satan. His identity, being the father of lies and the destruction that it has brought. So when we come to this command, we have a choice. We have a choice. Right? A number of choices. First of all, choose where you want to align your heart. Because that's where lying comes from. It comes from our heart. Where do you want to align your heart? Do you want to speak the language of God? Or speak the language of Satan? Do you want your words to represent the character of God or the character of Satan? That is what it's at stake. Our culture will say it's no big deal. It's no big deal. But according to God, it's a pretty big matter. Do not believe that lying is no big deal. Where do you want to align your heart? Second of all, to choose to confess your lying to God. And this is where we do that. We have to do this with all of our sins. However you struggle, right, in your life. And lying is one sin among many. But we have to bring it to God, right? We have to come to the cross, right? We have to acknowledge it before God. God, I have lied, and I've lied in many ways, and I confess it to you. And you look at the cross, and there you find Jesus, who was willing to take upon your sin, take upon every time you've ever lied. He is willing to take it on, and he was willing to pay for that penalty. He became your deceit for you so that he could offer forgiveness. But experiencing that begins with confession and repentance before God. None of that, choosing to confess your lying to others, because lying breaks trust. If you have lied, you have broken trust with people in your life, and you got to go to them and you confess them. And going to them before they find out is always better. It's always better. I know it's more painful at the moment, but it's always better to come and to confess and apologize and acknowledge the harm that you've done. And you know what? You can't demand the relationship to be rebuilt overnight, but that's something you have to do. You have to choose to do after you confess, right? To build up that trust again. You have to make that choice. You have to choose to become the person that Jesus is creating you to be. It's because of what Jesus has done for you on the cross. God wants to do a miracle in your life, right? He wants to take this deceit and how it grabs our hearts, and he wants to peel it off one finger at a time and begin to create in you a new work, to refine you to the image of his son. And I love those two wonderful passages where Paul talks about this. But listen how he closely, one of the very first applications of this is lying. He says, "Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and you have put on the new self," right? Who God is making you to be. because of what he's doing in you, put off deceit. Do not lie. Again in Ephesians, and you are to be made new in the attitude of your minds and to put off put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. In the very first application of this, therefore each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor. How important is this to God? And one of the first applications of the work that he wants to do in you, making you more like Jesus, is in honesty, speaking truthfully. So choose to lean into the power of the Spirit, right? You have been given the Spirit of God as a follower of Christ, the Spirit of truth, living inside of you. And he's the one that can empower you and strengthen you. Two of the fruit of the Spirit that we read about in Galatians 5, right? One of them is self-control with your words, speaking truthfully. And the other one is faithfulness. Faithfulness being represented through your words, speaking truthfully. That's the work that the Holy Spirit wants to do in you. And it's through his power that it can be possible. Choose to find the joy and the blessing from becoming an honest person. When you speak honestly, you never have to worry about covering anything up. You never have to worry about covering things up. Because once you lie, right, you gotta keep compounding that lie sometimes. You got to add to it. Maybe you're caught and you've got to keep adding to it. But if you're honest, you don't ever have to worry about that. In Proverbs, it says the fear of God, right, and allows someone to go to bed and sleep peacefully. Because of your fear of God and speaking honestly, wanting to bring him delight, you go to bed and you don't have to worry about getting caught in a lie. Choose to find joy of bringing God delight. The Lord detests lying lips, but he delights in men who are truthful. Especially when it's hard to tell the truth. When you do, God is smiling. He is smiling. Become a lover of truth. One of the huge factors of people being protected by the deceit of Satan at the end is because they were lovers of truth, because they had cultivated hearts that loved the truth. I love how the writer in the Proverbs chapter 30, verse 7 through 8, he prays for two things. Listen to this. He says, two things I ask of you, O Lord, do not refuse me before I die. Two things. What would you pray for? What two things before you die? Listen to what he prays for. First of all, well, secondly, give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread. Right? Don't give me riches because I'll be tempted, right, to turn my heart from you. Don't give me poverty, right? I'll be tempted maybe to steal or to do other things. Just give me my daily bread. But the second thing he prayed for, keep falsehood and lies far from me. God, I want to be an honest person with an honest heart. If you're struggling, and when you struggle, because you will, we all struggle with this. Every one of us will struggle with one of these faces of lying. And when you do, evaluate, take a moment and evaluate what's going on in your heart. Why are you being tempted right now? Why is Satan maybe getting a foothold in your life, tempting you at this moment to lie, to speak his words, his language, to represent his character? What's going on? Is it fear? Bring that to Jesus. Is it guilt? Bring that to Jesus. Is it bitterness maybe against another person? Bring that to Jesus. Bring it to Jesus. Allow him to heal. Allow him to give you victory. Allow him to fill your heart with love instead. Give it to Jesus. One of our favorite family movies is a movie called Big Fat Liar. Big Fat Liar. Anybody remember that? Big Fat Liar. Not Liar Liar. That's a different one. Not so much. But Big Fat Liar. It's about a publisher or a movie guy who steals a story from this young man. Right? He steals his story. And as this young man goes to confront him, he's like, that's my story. And he sees he's making a movie of it. Like, that's my story. He goes and confronts him. And one of the lines this producer says is, truth is overrated. Truth is overrated. Well, near the end of the movie where this guy gets exposed and caught, this young man looks to him and says, truth, you know, is never overrated. And that's what God says to us today. Truth is never overrated. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for these commandments, Lord, your heart to us, Lord, because you love us and you want us to experience a blessed life, a joyful life in community with one another. And Lord, you know what lying does to that kind of community, what it does to our culture, what it does to our nation. What it is to live in a culture where you just can't trust anything. Lord, you want to protect us from that. And so, Lord, we thank you for your command. And Lord, we come to you this morning, Lord, every one of us, and we want to come with hearts that are just listening to your spirit, Lord. We know that we have disobeyed you in this, with this command in different ways, different faces. And Lord, we want to confess that to you right now. Maybe just a moment. Confess to God how maybe you've broken this command this week. Maybe with outright lies or exaggerations or slander or half-truths. And Lord, we want to bring that to you. But Lord, this morning, as your spirit is speaking to each of us, we want to say, Lord, we want to respond. We want to ask for forgiveness for that. And Lord, right now we are asking for the power of the cross and your resurrection, Lord, to be just loosened and released into our life through your spirit, Lord, that you will give us victory in this area of our life. Lord, that we can build relationships of immense trust, that people, when they hear us speak, they know that it'll be true. People of character and integrity. Lord, people that are speaking your language. People that represent your heart and your character. Lord, give us victory. Lord, that we might shine bright in a culture filled with deceit. Give us hearts that love what is true and honest. And in doing so, Lord, we know that we bring you delight. In Jesus' name,